Lecture topic: Importance of Muraqaba.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafil layli wan nahari laayatin li ulil albab. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار صدق الله العظيم. Brothers and elders, so Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he once asked Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that tell me something which was the most amazing thing that you saw in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she replied and said that every aspect of his Mubarak life was extremely amazing. And indeed, if a person studies the Mubarak Seerat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then every aspect will give guidance. Unfortunately, we don't make the time to study the Mubarak Seerat, the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we do read of something, it is like a very casual reading. But the study of the Mubarak Seerat, of the Shama'il, of the various authentic books that have been written about the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these have to be studied as a means of taking guidance for our day-to-day lives. We understand the importance of the Mubarak Sunnah, but it is in the light of the various different incidents in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we'll get the understanding of how to conduct ourselves in day-to-day life. One is a specific action, how to do it correctly in the sunnah manner. But together with that, on a more broader level, how to react to situations. What's the right thing to say at a particular time? To be able to understand, okay, this situation, what does it demand? Once one person came in the masjid, the Bedouin came in the masjid, and these people generally didn't have the opportunity to learn. They were far away out in the rural areas. So he had probably just come, just totally new, had no chance to learn anything before. He came into the masjid, and now he suddenly had an urge. So now the masjid was sand. There wasn't any flooring and carpeting and so on that we understand. So he in one corner of the masjid went and started relieving himself, urinating. At that moment now, when the Sahaba noticed this is what this person is doing, so some of them woke up to start going towards him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately stopped them. La tuzrimu. Don't go and stop him, by the way. Now there's various explanations to why Nabi Islam stopped them at that moment. Now can we imagine the scene? And this is the point that we are making is that to know what to do, in which condition, what situation, what's the right reaction, how to handle a situation. So now there are various details to it, but one of the explanations, one of the reasons among many, is that if this person now saw the Sahaba running towards him to try and stop him, natural reaction would have been that he would have woken up and started running. Because you don't know now what somebody might do when they get to him. Maybe it might run through his mind, this person is going to get to me, he might hit me for doing what I'm doing. Whatever else, so to get away from them, he would start running. So right now, the harm and the damage is in one, confined to one spot. If he started running, Allah knows best how much of the masjid will get soiled. So the problem was confined. Now that's a lesson that is learned from the Mubarak Seerat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That if something has already happened, one is trying to avoid the problem. So teach a person beforehand, look, this is the masjid. But if somebody never learned, then confine them. If the problem already happened, then don't escalate it. Confine it and then resolve it. So when he was done, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then called him and explained to him, look, this is the masjid, this is the house of Allah Ta'ala. And the house of Allah Ta'ala, all these things don't befit the house of Allah Ta'ala. This is totally out of place. They taught him, he taught him in a very good way, and that's the part of seerah to learn. That somebody has erred, is he a new person, is he an old person, meaning old in deen, he's had ample opportunity to learn, or is somebody completely still new in deen, can't treat everybody the same. That is learned from the Mubarak seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now after having taught him in a very, very kind and gentle way, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told some sahaba that dig out the soil from here and discard it, put in fresh, good, clean soil in there, and the place was cleaned up, washed away. Now the problem was first confined to where it is because it already happened. And then it was resolved. Now, where we learn this from, now this is just one example. The entire Mubarak seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is filled with these lessons, which due to the lack of knowledge about it, we react in different ways in day-to-day issues, and we put ourselves in deep problem, we cause difficulty for others, or we lose out on so much of good. So now this is just one example. So in any case, coming back to the incident that we were talking about, let's say the Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked, tell me something very amazing about the peace of the Bahari Sallallahu. She said, everything was very amazing. What am I going to single out? Everything was very amazing. Then she nevertheless said that once the peace of Allah Sallallahu came home one night, and then various details, but just to get to the main point of it, he said then he started his salah, and in his salah he began weeping so much, Hatta balla lihyatuhu. His beard became wet with his tears. And then further, he then eventually made sajda. And in his sajda, he cried so much, Hatta balla al-ard. So, he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam crying. He asked him, but what makes you cry? What makes you cry, whereas Allah Ta'ala has made you masoom and sinless? فَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأْخَرُ. Allah has forgiven everything, meaning there is nothing. But if there was something, she was all forgiven. The slightest of, maybe something which wasn't on the highest level of preferability, even that too is forgiven. So what makes you cry then? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, that wayhak. And then he said to him that why should I not cry when this ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed upon me last night. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recited these ayat, the last rukuh of Surah Al Imran, Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahar la ayatin li ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyama ila akhir al-ayat, the end of the rukuh. And then in the end, after having recited these ayat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَيْلٌ لِمَنْ قَرَأَهَا وَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرْ فِيهَا. That person is at a total loss, destruction almost. That he read these ayat, but he did not ponder over it. Now this is the message and the lesson that was given in this, that how important this pondering is, reflection, pondering. That in this particular case, these ayat, they discuss the aspect of pondering over the creation of Allah Ta'ala in order to recognize the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, to gain the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. It was the practice of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every morning, and he would wake up now for tahajjud. So he would wake up and then recite among the first things, recite this entire ruku.
And he would look up to the skies and recite this entire ruku, Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, every morning. Inna fi khalqis samawati wal ard, verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, and the alternating of day and night, لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah says, in all this are signs for people of intelligence. For people of intelligence. Every person likes to be called intelligent. And if ever anybody is, he made a mistake or something, somebody sometimes might retort or might say something which is not the right thing to say, it would seem like you've got no intelligence, feel very offended about it. Nobody likes to be ever addressed in that way. Allah Ta'ala is saying a sign of intelligence is that a person takes the signs from these things. That's a sign of intelligence. If a person has learned how to be a rocket scientist and he has learned how to land on the moon, but he didn't take that sign from it to learn to recognize the creator of the moon, then he's got no intelligence. He can claim what he wants. Sometimes when something is very complicated, so now to show that, or rather the other way around, something very easy, so now to show that it doesn't require too much intelligence to understand it, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand it. So in other words, a rocket scientist is a very specialized thing. He is a very intelligent person. You don't need that much intelligence to understand this. But if that rocket scientist didn't recognize the creator of this, then he is without any intelligence. The world may think of him as they please, but in the court of Allah Ta'ala, he is bereft of any intelligence. A person might be as intelligent as the world sees him to be, but if he bows down to a tree or to a cow, so what level of intelligence does he have? That he hasn't recognized that how can this be a deity? He's worshipping some idol, worshipping something like, what kind of intelligence can he have? That he hasn't recognized that this can never be a deity. How can I be worshipping something like this? So intelligence in the court of Allah Ta'ala, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, is that intelligence which brings a person to recognize Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that those who now look at the creation of the heavens and earth, this magnificent sign of life presented before us, the sky that is above us, and from end to end, not a single pillar holding it up. Did it make any, they ever thought about it? This masjid roof can't stand with so many pillars. And this entire sky Allah created, which whatever science might say, that it is gases or whatever else, but in this is way below the sky that Allah has created. The sky is a solid structure. And there's doors in the skies. And when the angels ascend, in the authentic riwayat, the details are there, how the angels open the door for those who have to come up, etc., etc. Allah says in all this, in the alternating of day and night, how the winter comes in, then the days get shorter, and the nights get longer, and then the summer months come, and it changes, and everything, as we call it, by clockwork. Clockwork also is not good enough a description of this accuracy. Every year, on that particular day, to the exact moment, that change takes place in a gradual way. Not a year, it goes 1 second back and forth. Who created all this? Allah. Now after having seen this, Allah says those who take the signs will be who? Those who are people of intelligence, they'll take the signs. But what is the sign of their intelligence? People of intelligence, what they do? الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. And what is their very special trait? They remember Allah Ta'ala, يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ, in what conditions? قِيَامًا. Now either a person is standing, وَقُعُودًا, who is sitting, وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ, or he's reclining. One of three postures. Insan is either standing, or he's sitting, or he's reclining. There is no fourth posture. So Allah says whether they're standing, whether they're sitting, whether they're reclining, they are in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. That's a sign of intelligence. They don't become ghafil. They don't become heedless. They don't forget their Rabb. And then together with that, part of the zikr is this tafakkur. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They ponder. They think. This very great ni'mat of the mind Allah has blessed insan with, that mind is now used to recognize the creator of this universe. This tafakkur. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, among the greatest of the tabi'in, and very, very great personality, it is his statement, تَفَكُّرُ سَاعَةٍ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ قِيَامِ لَيْلَةٍ. And pondering, reflecting for a short while also, is more virtuous than standing the whole night in ibadat. But it's not meant to diminish the importance of that, it's rather to give the importance of tafakkur. That standing in the night in ibadat, it doesn't mean that that must be discarded. But if that is understood as a very great amal, then this amal of pondering for a short while is better than that ibadat as well. Now pondering about what? So pondering about everything and anything that will bring us closer to Allah Ta'ala. One is this pondering over this, these things we see around us, and everything we see around us will give us some sign, will give us some lesson, will take us closer to Allah Ta'ala. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, very, very great muhaddith, scholar, very great personality. So his one statement is mentioned, he used to keep reciting this couplet. One couplet he used to keep repeating for his own benefit. He used to keep repeating the couplet, إِذِ الْمَرْءُ لَهُ فِكْرَةٌ فَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ عِبْرَةٌ. إِذِ الْمَرْءُ كَانَتْ لَهُ فِكْرَةٌ فَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ عِبْرَةٌ. But if a person has this quality of pondering, then he'll take a lesson from everything. If he has this quality, that he applies his mind to think, but think in the right way. Our mind just thinks only dunya. And Allah forbid sometimes, if it then goes further down, only thinks haram. Even when a person is in halal, also is thinking of haram. Allah blessed him with a halal wife, and he's thinking of haram. This is how sometimes a person falls so deep into, because of whatever filth is being washed all the time, because of whatever else a person gets exposed to and puts himself into. Now what halal Allah blessed him with, even in that condition through his mind is only wired into haram. And that is one of the very severe consequences and effects of this wrong and evil and the filth that is being watched, pornography and so on, that the research of Western scholars is that this ends up rewiring the mind. Person is caught up in this, say it rewires the mind. Now how does it rewire the mind? What does that mean? Oh, rewiring the mind. So to understand it maybe with a simple example, that if the wires get crossed in something, now the person is indicating in his car and he wants to indicate that he wants to turn left. And he wants to indicate right, so now he's indicating right, but the lights are flashing on the left because the wires were crossed. So now he's indicating that he wants to turn in one direction, but then he's showing something else. It's going to result in an accident somewhere. He is, now the wires were crossed, so now instead of, he's pressing the brakes, when he's pressing the brakes, the lights go off. The brake lights go off. And when he's not pressing the brakes, the lights are coming on. Now can you imagine now when he's pressing the brakes, somebody's going to knock into him. Because everything is upside down. Everything is gone upside down because the wires were crossed. Got rewired wrongly. When the mind gets rewired, the person can't think straight. Things that are disgusting look exciting to him. Things that are something to be totally far away from seems to be something for him to go and grab. The whole mind got rewired. This is the effect of all this. So in any case, the ignorance, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, is saying if a person has this quality of thinking, pondering, he'll take a lesson from everything. Rabia Basriya rahmatullah alayha, she was once, somebody presented a roasted chicken in front of her. She said, I want to eat. So now somebody brought her hadiya and came. So it was a roasted chicken. So now the person suddenly sees a roasted chicken in front of him. And especially if it's not something that he commonly gets to eat. So now it's human nature. The person will feel inclined to eat it now. And he might be very enthusiastic to now get into it. He started crying. Now they were surprised. Is this a moment to cry? A moment to make sugar. Allah Ta'ala blessed with this ni'mat. So what are you crying for now? So I'm not making any nashukri. I'm not being ungrateful for this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. It's Allah Ta'ala's ni'mat. But my mind just went in a different direction. Now why it went in a different direction? Because she was somebody who used to think, reflect, ponder. So now this also took her mind. إِذِ الْمَرْءُ كَانَتْ لَهُ فِكْرَةٌ فَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ عِبْرَةٌ When a person has this quality of thinking repeatedly, he gets a lesson out of everything. So she said, this roasted chicken was presented, it took my mind to something, that this chicken was first made zabah, it was slaughtered. So mashallah, it was slaughtered correctly, but after it was slaughtered, now its life was out. It was lifeless. So after it was lifeless, it was then roasted. So meaning that it felt nothing, because the life was gone, it was lifeless, so now it was in fire, but it meant nothing to that chicken because no pain now, no life. So I just pondered about this, that mashallah, this was so fortunate that before it was roasted, zabah was made, and there was no life anymore. Allah forbid, if I don't get forgiven by Allah Ta'ala, I'll get roasted alive. Now whose mind goes in that direction in front of a roasted chicken? The person starts salivating that time. But when a person has this quality of pondering, now this is what takes the mind to, this might be very high for us. This might be on a very high level for us. Neither are we being demanded of that now. Every time we see roasted chicken, we start crying or something. That's not in our level. But the lesson, to sit and ponder, or ponder about what? Have we, for example, sat to ponder that when I am an ummati of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So what kind of ummati am I? What is my attachment to my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is my attachment to his way of life? What is my attachment to his mission of life? I am a servant of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's countless bounties. Allah Ta'ala's countless bounties. One Tabi'i, he says, I met so many Sahaba. And they all were of one view that pondering over the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala is even more virtuous than zikr. It doesn't mean again that zikr must be neglected. But this was their view, because when a person ponders over Allah's ni'mat, it'll make him a greater zakir. It'll bring him more into the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. He'll become conscious, my Allah has blessed me with countless bounties. And now when he's more conscious of it, the other very crucial part of that will be when he becomes very, very conscious that all this is Allah's ni'mat, it will save him from using the ni'mat in the disobedience of Allah. When he is now pondering, subhanAllah, Allah gave me this ni'mat of the eyes. Allah's bounty. If I was not blessed with sight, what kind of world I would be living in? Such a dark world. Yeah, those servants of Allah, Allah grant afiyat, but they are, subhanAllah, blessed with so many other things. But now, we have to think about ourselves. If I was in this dark world without any vision, without any sight, now imagine our day-to-day life. What could I can't see my family, I can't see anything around me, I can't work. Allah Ta'ala save us from those situations. Sometimes out of the blue something happens, the person loses his vision, his sight. What will be the condition then? Have you ever sat to think about it? What a ni'mat sight is. And then make sugar. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah ala ni'matil basar. Allah is your bounty. Allah, you bless me with sight. Now pondering over the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, and then making sugar over it. So now when a person repeatedly ponders Allah's ni'mat, Allah's gift, close his eyes and think, if I was living in this kind of world then, now when that happens once, twice, 10 times, 50 times, he's pondering every now and again, every day, in a few minutes, a time will come when it will be impossible to use his gaze wrongly, deliberately. Allah's ni'mat, and priceless. Allah forbid, if this is lost, then the whole world's physicians can't put it back. And I want to use this against Allah's command. I'm going to use Allah's ni'mat to break Allah's commands. One father was extremely upset. And he was upset because whatever the son did. But worse than that was, that what he did was, whatever he did, he had spent the father's money to do that wrong. So the father gave him some money for whatever. So now he went and spent that money in a way that caused quite a bit of harm. The father was more upset on that. I gave him the money, and now with that money that I gave him to go and do something productive, this is what he went and did. So now what he did was bad enough, but this made it worse. I gave him the money. So now when we give somebody something, they misuse it, they abuse it, very offensive, very painful and hurtful. Allah gave us everything, and we use it to break Allah's commands. And when a person sits and ponders Allah's ni'mats, Allah's bounties, Allah gave me this tongue. Allah Ta'ala has commanded, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Say to my servants to speak that which is best. Now Allah's bounty of the tongue, and can I use it for vulgarity? How can this be? To speak obscenities, to make ghibat, hurt people with my tongue, oh, Allah's ni'mat, I can't do this. But now he's thinking about it, he found time to think. Why he found time to think? Because he's not in the screen time, running into hours. He's got time to screen himself, screen the use of his eyes, screen the use of his tongue, screen the use of his limbs and organs Allah has blessed him with, by pondering, thinking, tafakkur. This is a noor that comes in the heart. This tafakkur brings noor in the heart. So Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, it's also his statement. He says, Al-fikratu mir'at. What is this pondering? This pondering is a mirror. When a person has a time to sit and ponder, he makes the time. If he's concerned about his akhirat, he'll make the time. He'll make the time to ponder. What is this pondering? It's a mirror, mir'at. Yurika hasanatik wa sayyatik. It will show you your good, and if you ponder correctly, it will show you your faults as well. Like that mirror. That mirror got no relationship with anybody. Can be the most handsome person, or beautiful person, but if they come with some blemish on themselves, the mirror will not say, now I'm feeling shy to tell you that, you know, this is not how you actually think you look, but something has gone wrong now. The mirror will say it as it is. The mirror will not hide anything. If a person makes the habit of thinking, pondering, taking some time, sit down, think about myself. As we just mentioned, what kind of a servant of Allah I am, what kind of an ummati I am, what kind of a husband am I? The wife to think, what kind of a wife am I? In light of what Allah wants me to be, what kind of a husband am I? Am I that kind of husband who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what kind of teachings he gave? خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best among you is the one who is best to his wife. Obviously within the limits of Shariat. أَكْبَرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِ. The mu'min with the most perfect iman is the one with the most perfect akhlaq. And then further, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the best among you are the ones who are best to their wives. What kind of husband am I? Take some time to think about it. Not once off, once in a year. Every other day, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 3 minutes. Surround and think, what kind of a husband am I? Supposing if the roles were reversed, if I was in the shoes of the opposite side, and I know what I am, if I'm looking at myself from that end, how do I see myself then? Or if I was now being confronted with this, that somebody brought a complaint to me about whoever, this is what my husband is, A, B, C, D, E, and now I have to deal with the situation, but that A, B, C, D, E is all what I am. How would I view this? Think about it. This is a mir'at, it's a mirror. It'll give us the good also, it'll give us all our weaknesses as well. What kind of a father am I? The responsibility Allah has placed upon me to give the correct tarbiyah and nurturing to my children, to guide them on the path that will bring them closer to Allah Ta'ala. What extent have I played this role? How much have I tried? Obviously, hidayah is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. But how much is my effort in there to try and instill the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala in their hearts? Like this, what kind of a Muslim am I in whatever field I am in? I mean business. What kind of a Muslim businessman am I? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he didn't come to teach us how to conduct business, but he gave the virtue of a good businessman. At-tajiru as-saduqu al-ameen. That businessman who is honest and he is trustworthy. And the various other qualities in this particular business person who is fulfilling all the laws of Allah Ta'ala, and together with that he is conducting himself in his business in this way. We raise with the Anbiya alayhi salam, subhanallah, with the Siddiqeen, with the Shuhada, on the day of Qiyamah. What kind of businessman am I? What kind of worker am I? Am I fulfilling the trust that is required of me? In every sphere of life, but to take some time to ponder, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ, they ponder. This fikra is a mir'ad, it's a mirror. It shows a person is good, it'll show him he's bad as well. But now, when the person sees something in the mirror, something not looking right, the first thing is now to put it right. Doesn't see it and then carry on. That's why he looks into the mirror. So then something's out of place, so now he tries to sort it out. And therefore this is the need to find time to ponder, to think about our lives, think about our direction, or think about, this is that time of the year now, holiday, what I'm planning to do. I'm planning to go to a certain place, but is that the place to go to? What will be the environment there? Will that environment be conducive to my iman, to haya? Or it will expose everybody in my family, myself, to a whole lot of immorality and vice? What will be the condition of my iman when I return from there? Take a few minutes to think about it, ponder. To ponder now, I'm always thinking about upgrading and updating in so many things in life. How much effort have I made now to update and upgrade my deen, enhance my salah? Am I making dhikr of Allah Ta'ala daily? Am I making tilawat of the Quran Sharif? Quran Sharif, Allah Salam, how many days have gone past that touch the Quran Sharif? Some time to think. And when this thinking comes alive, this fikr, this is the life of the heart. When fikr comes alive, then we'll start the engine. Then things will start moving, inshallah. But this is the message Allah gives us in this ayat as well, that the intelligent people, أَلَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ, those who remember Allah Ta'ala. One is the essence of this remembrance. The essence of zikr is the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. The person who is in Allah Ta'ala's obedience is in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. And if he's in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala, at that time he could have been turning the beads of the tasbih, he could even recite subhanallah, but if he's looking at haram around, then he's far away from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So the primary thing and the essence of zikr is Allah's obedience. But to get to that consciousness, the verbal zikr, the various tasbihat, the askar, tilawat of the Quran Sharif, so much has been mentioned in the hadith. The person who recites these tasbihat, is Askar, what are the virtues? The virtues of Zikr by the Shaykh al-Aziz Abdullah, Fazail Amal. We should take the time to read through that and be inspired by the tremendous virtues of Zikr. And daily there should be some time in the day which is dedicated for the Zikr of Allah Ta'ala. No distraction, no disturbance, Banda or Khuda. Between the servant and his Rabb, no other distraction. And in solitude, remembering Allah Ta'ala deeply from the heart, not just counting numbers only, even the numbers are important, but with azmat and muhabbat. That zikr of Allah Ta'ala with azmat and muhabbat, with the greatness of Allah Ta'ala in the heart and with the love of Allah Ta'ala. Then that will bring a transforming effect in the heart. That consistently, daily, dedicated time for the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, istighfar, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the masoom Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, still would say that I make istighfar and I seek Allah's forgiveness more than 70 times daily. One rewrite more than 100 times daily. How much we should be making istighfar? Then Durood Sharif on Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is just a token of our appreciation for his untold sacrifices, which we can't even imagine. So that we could be sitting here today talking about Allah Ta'ala, talking about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We could have the blessing and bounty of Iman. So some time in Durood Sharif, and likewise tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and this should happen in our homes. There should be time daily in our homes. This is what will bring the barakat and blessings in our homes. All the other things that have crept in because of a lack of amal, that has taken all the barakat away. To bring alive all the amal again, this is inshallah what will bring the barakat back. So in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala brings our attention to this. Allah speaks about the intelligent one to make us such. We should follow in this path. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. After pondering, what conclusion they come to? Oh Rabb, not like the scientist, sees everything and still in disbelief. He sees the depths of things sometimes, but still in disbelief because his own purpose is upside down. This person looks with the eye of Ibrat, and the conclusion, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Oh Rabb, we have not created all this in vain. Subhanak, Allah, you are most pure, that you do something just in vain. But now what is this all about? That this is still the stepping stone to the akhirat. It's not the be all and end all. And this is going to perish one day. When it perishes, it's akhirat. So now, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah save us from the fire of Jahannam. So that's where the eternal life is, thereafter. So in this dunya, some things went up, down. It's all temporary. Akhirat is eternal. So ya Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. That is the real success. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. The one who has been saved from the fire of Jahannam and entered into Jannah, he is the one who is successful. Regardless of what dunya regarded him as. That's a success to strive for. So that is what we have to make an effort for. Bring zikr alive in our homes. Bring ta'aleem alive in our homes. Tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Obviously every person should be performing their salah on time, good time, nails in the masjid, in jama'ah, and making an effort on our iman, on our yaqeen, being out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, being in the company of the Ahlullah and the pious, to bring this connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala alive. This is what's going to be of benefit to us now and in the akhirat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. This is the first few minutes of the Quran. La ilaha illallah. So reciting La ilaha, bring to mind all the pain, everything that the barrier of Allah, all the haram, all the evil, all the dirt in our hearts, haram relationships, all this has been taken and thrown out of our hearts. And Illa Allah is this nur setting to the heart, which is the love of Allah.
Allah. Allah, 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 Allah,
save us from ghaflat, Ya Allah. Save us from heedlessness, Ya Allah. Allah, make us among those whom you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Allah, remove all the evil and vices from our lives, Ya Allah. Allah, fill our lives with your obedience, Ya Allah. Fill our lives with your obedience, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with taqwa, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with tawazu, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with khashiyat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with inamat and wudu, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, remove all the love of dunya from our hearts, Ya Allah. Remove the love of the ego, Ya Allah. Remove the pride, the malice, the jealousy, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the yearning of Jannah, Ya Allah. With the yearning of seeing you in Jannah, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, you grant us the tawfiq of all that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Enable us to perform all five times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah. With khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. In a way you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Enable us to recite the Quran Sharif daily in abundance, Ya Allah. Enable us to be forever in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Allah, save us from the sins of eyes, Ya Allah. The sins of the ears and tongue, Ya Allah. The sins of the hands and feet, Ya Allah. Let us purify our hearts of all sin, Ya Allah. إِلَهُ الْعَالَمِينَ يَا اللَّهُ those who are sick with the shifa kamila hafida mustabirra daima Allah remove every trace of their ailments Ya Allah Allah whatever difficulty hardship anybody is in Ya Allah out of your grace and mercy remove with afiyat Ya Allah grant barakat in each one's risk Ya Allah grant abundant halal and tayyib risk for the barakat Ya Allah save us from every drop and grape of haram and doubtful things Ya Allah إِلَهُ الْعَالَمِينَ يَا اللَّهُ throughout the world Ya Allah every Muslim, Ya Allah, grant them afiyat in deen, Ya Allah, afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah, remove their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Allah, wherever the Muslims are in any pain, suffering, hardship, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Allah, grant them afiyat in every aspect, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, those are without hope, give them hope speedily, Ya Allah. Those are without food, give them food to eat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, those are in any dire circumstances, Ya Allah. Allah, you change it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, grant peace for them all, Ya Allah. and especially our brothers and sisters of Palestine, Ya Allah, those who are in Sudan, Ya Allah, other parts of the world where they are suffering, Ya Allah, and remove their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ilahu Alameen, save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Grant us a true love of the Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, put the hatred of sin in our hearts, Ya Allah. Save us from the ways of Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Ilahu Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who have raised their hands in this dua. Ya Allah, fulfill each one's desires, needs, each one's wise aspirations. Ya Allah, remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ilahu Alameen, all those who ask us to make dua for them, Ya Allah. Grant the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Ilahu Alameen, remove all their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ilahu Alameen, all that we have asked for, Ya Allah, out of your grace and mercy, grant it to us, Ya Allah. But we should have been asking for, Ya Allah, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك ابن نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد